Blessed Assurance and welcome to Kingdom Christian Fellowship, KCF. We reveal the reality of the Kingdom of God and Christ Jesus in the lives of people all over the world. As you listen to this message, we pray that you are blessed and inspired to improve your relevance in the Kingdom of God.
I want to talk to you briefly, hopefully briefly, on the subject exemption and fortification by the fear of God. Exemption and fortification by the fear of God. When we talk about exemption, we're talking about the fact that you are excluded from a certain harm or you are immunized against a certain kind of trouble. When we say you are fortified, it has two meanings. Boss, what's your name? Kwame. Are you a prophet? Do you hear God's voice? Have you heard God's voice before? No. Have you seen visions before? Do you dream a lot? Sometimes. What are some of the dreams? What's the type of dreams you have typically? Yes. Okay. And it happened. When you dream, it happens most times. It's a question. It's not, you don't remember. That's the only one you remember. Okay. Do you know why I ask you if you're a prophet? Do you know you're a man of God? Is there a man of God in your life? Quite a number. Who are you close to a prophet? Your uncle is a prophet. Because of how they are behaving, I won't say what I wanted to tell you in the mic. When we close, come and see me. Okay. You people, you like sensational things too much. Sorry, me, Reverend Rola will tell you, the way I was trained, I don't do sensationalism when it comes to you. Your name is this, your telephone number is this. You know your name, you know your telephone number already. Okay. I like to talk to people, not in a mic, but sometimes we do it to encourage those who have not encountered God yet. Because the gift of prophecy is to reveal the heart of men and to encourage people for them to know that God is. Do you understand? God is. It's not for showmanship. So I try as much as possible not to do the... I don't see in scriptures any of the prophets doing so showmanship with the revelational gifts. Do you understand? I was speaking to a Muslim. His twin son had died and had gone to the place and he was feeling very sad. And then I was working with my boss, so we met him. The guy, my boss was like, "Why are you quiet?" Then I said, "I see that somebody is dead." Then he said, "It's true. His son, his twin boy, just died that morning." So he was sad. And I said, The twins, how do you call it? Penny and Kakra. Penny had died at birth. And then after 3 years, that day, that boy there. And so I told him, I see myself, if the guy is a Muslim from Niger, I said, I see myself in Niger, in a certain village, standing by a very huge tree. Huge tree. And the tree is an idol. The fetish priests of that tree told you that if you don't come and sacrifice chicken, you won't get your babies. He knelt there and said, "It's true." He started crying. He said his wife took the chicken there. And the fetish priest got angry that because it was not he, the husband, who brought it, he killed the first baby. And later on killed the second one. I told him that only Anabi Isa can save you. Hallelujah. That's how they call Jesus Christ. He said, you don't know. So the gift of prophecy. When work was over, he came to me. Up to now, he still calls me. This is 2015. Up to now, he still calls me. I don't pick. I say, if you give your life to an abuse, I'll pick your call. Okay. Every word of knowledge God gives to anybody is to let you know that he is with you. He knows you. Do you understand? And he cares for you. The Bible says that in all your affliction, he's afflicted with you. You don't know? Anytime you are sad, you make him sad. All right? Tell your neighbor, God loves you. God loves you. And tell the same neighbor, but he loves me more than he loves you. Praise the Lord. All right. So let's go ahead quickly. I'll be a bit fast because of time, okay? Now, when we talk about fortification, we are talking about two things. Number one, we are talking about the fact that you are empowered. You are empowered. The second aspect is about protection. Okay, the first one, the first fortification that everybody thinks about is, when we say fortification, means that you have a certain kind of defense system that is formidable or impregnable, so that you are shielded from whatever mishap. But the kind of fortification that I want to dwell on this morning is the one that empowers you. When we say a certain food item has been fortified, what do we mean? What do we mean? It's what? It's been enriched with what? Nutrients and vitamins. And so when God says he has fortified you, what does he mean? It means that he has empowered you. He has enriched your life with his spirit, with his grace, such that you become formidable to accomplish or to live the life that you've been ordained for. Right? If you notice that you are weak in certain areas and he comes into your life, he comes to enrich you. Before I go ahead, I want to tell you that that is exactly what the Holy Spirit has come to do in your life.
Amen.
With the word of God.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit that we have is not just for speaking in tongues. Even the gift of speaking in tongues has an implication of building you up. Do you understand? He says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue, okay, does not understand it. And nobody else understands what he is saying. Howbeit, in the realms of the spirit, he is speaking mysteries to God, and he is building up himself. The scripture says that desire to prophesy, because the one who prophesies edifies or builds up the entire church, and yet the one who speaks in tongues builds up himself. So there is a benefit of a build up, even in speaking in tongues, right? Now, the presence of the Holy Spirit is not just for you to speak in tongues. It's just one aspect of his gift. There are many gifts, but his assignment, according to John 14, his assignment is to teach you. Praise the Lord. Jesus said that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will teach you. He will guide you. So he's a guide. Tell your neighbor, he's a guide.
He's a guide.
So you cannot have the Holy Spirit and be confused. Do you understand me? You cannot have the Holy Spirit and be weak. No. The Holy Spirit is a governor of God's kingdom on earth. Much, how many of you have read some of the Ghana or African history where the British came to colonize Africa or Ghana, and then the Queen sent a certain governor? Who can mention one of the governor's name? How old was he when he was sent to Ghana? Oh, you can check. You can check. Check on Google and tell me. He was a small boy. And what was his role as a governor? What is the role of a governor to a colony? He does what? He represents the kingdom. In what way? You are right, but explain. Say again. Oh, be bold. This is family meeting. It's not lecture. Be bold. Oh, sweetheart, you are the one, woman in green. What's your name? Gifty. Gifty, please stand up. Let the beautiful Gifty please stand up. Clap for her. Sister Gifty, what were you saying?
You were saying that
to oversee the kingdom. And you are right.
Let's clap for Sister Gifty. Who has found how old he was on Google? Oh, you don't like researching. All right, let's go on with our message. So the Holy Spirit is the governor of God's kingdom. What he is here to do is to ensure that you look like heaven. The Bible says that our citizenship is named from heaven. In other words, you were translated from a kingdom of darkness, that has a certain identity and a culture. You used to behave under a certain spell. Your desires, your personality was born from that culture by nature. Right? Now, when the Holy Spirit gave birth to you, according to the words of Jesus, that which is born of the flesh is. All I'm hearing is, shh, shh. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is. All right? Who did Jesus tell this to? Please, do you know a certain book called Bible? Who has heard about that book before? Lift up your hand. Please, if you don't know the Bible, my preachings will be very boring for you. Because I'm not here to come and do motivational speaking and give you words so that you scream deep. That is how most of you follow Michael Oropo, Joshua Selman, because you want to hear words that you don't understand. You keep listening. It has done nothing for you because you lack foundations. Don't do that. Don't do that. You are a child of a king, and he wants you to know who you are. He wants you to know how powerful you are. You can never become that powerful as he has made you if you don't know what he has written about you. Do you understand? He said, I come to do your will, O God. In the volumes of the book, it is written of me. So before Jesus will start his ministry, he read what was written about him. And he said, today, this is fulfilled. You too, things have been written about you in the book. John 3, everybody, start from verse 1 for me, for clarity's sake. This is just introduction. I've not gone into the message. I want you to understand where I'm coming from and where I'm going so that when I leave, like the man of God said, it will be a blessing to you when you are seated in the lecture hall and programming one and programming two wants to dribble you. You can activate your divine identity and say, brains, open up and understand, and your brains will understand. Do you understand? You are here to build a foundation for a beautiful future. You are not a weakling. Do you hear? You are not just passing through the school to gain a certain paper that calls you a bachelor. All right? God is interested in everything that happens to you here. He's interested in the tomorrow he wants to take you to. Do you understand? In this fellowship, we have raised many diplomats. Yes, there are a lot of graduates from KCF who are diplomats, and they receive the prophecy from here. There are many business people, business owners from this place. One of the students who is part of the board of directors for Ashesi, Yawa Hansen Kwao, was born again in KCF. Praise the Lord. So God means business with you. You must read his word on a daily basis. Reading the word is like having a conversation with him. All right? In fact, now that you have provoked me by not quoting the scriptures well, let's do something. Everybody read. One, go.
There was a man.
What time are we closing?
11.
How many minutes do I have? 2 minutes. 26 minutes. Okay, let's read.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it.
Everybody.
But cannot tell where it comes
from. Start again. The wind blows.
The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes.
Again.
The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from
again,
where it goes. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from.
You cannot tell where the wind comes from.
Yes.
Neither can you tell where the wind is
going.
Read the last verse, sentence.
So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Are you born of the Spirit of God?
Yes, sir.
Are you born of the Spirit of God?
Yes, sir.
You are not bold to answer me. Say yes.
Yes.
Being born of the Spirit does not mean that every day you walk around. No. Do you understand me? That is not the definition. You are in the Spirit. Romans 8. If so be that the Holy Spirit is in you. Being a spirit doesn't mean that you are walking around, shup, 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 then you don't smile. That is fake. That has nothing to do with being a spirit. Being a spirit simply means that the Holy Spirit is living in you. You are born of him since you believed. The day you believed that, Lord, I believe you. I accept you as my Savior. You are my God and my King. I have believed that you are the author of salvation. And in you I live, I move, I have my being. That day, his Spirit birthed you and made you a child of God.
Amen.
With every privilege that accompanies it. Do you understand? That same day, you became a chosen generation. That same day, you became a peculiar person.
Amen.
That same day, every resource in heaven and on earth became available to you.
Amen.
That same day, God put his hand on you and told you, you are my own. This day, I've begotten you. That same day, your life became a mystery. Now you will blow into places that no demon can predict. I thought I would hear an amen.
Yeah.
Am I talking to children of God?
Yeah.
That same day, no demon in your family, no altar, no ancestral curse could hold you captive.
Amen.
That same day, you became a co-heir with Christ.
Amen.
Of all the heavenly glories. That same day, you became the apple of God's eye.
Amen. Amen.
For when you were without Christ and a sinner, he loved you. How much more, now that you have accepted him? The Bible says, how much more will he not with Christ add to you all things? Do you understand? And so you should understand that this Holy Spirit who has come upon you, who lives in you, he yearns to talk to you. Yesterday, I don't have time. I would have played a voice note that I was listening to when I came and I was sitting outside. Okay. One lady came to visit me yesterday. I had prayed for her many years ago, 2012, to hear God's voice and to see visions. But so she started. But after some 2 years, she stopped hearing God's voice, stopped seeing visions. So, and I didn't mind. So yesterday she came to visit and said, do you want to hear? You think that gift has gone away? You think God has left? I said, he has never left. It is you who has stopped relating with him. But he has never left. I said, when you go tonight, just go and lie down. As you talk to him, what I taught you from day one, just say, Father, I'm sorry for neglecting you. and pay attention. He said, as soon as she said, Lord, I'm sorry, I want that relationship back. The Holy Spirit said, he asked, what do you want to see? Then she said, I told God, I want to see an angel. So she said she prayed, but she didn't see an angel. And yet when she went to lie down, she just started hearing some footsteps. And then she turned, and this being was standing there. Then she said, she was so scared. Why are you laughing? Why are you afraid? Who ran away? Why are you running to? Why would you run away? Why an angel is your fellow servant? Is it waiting? Different. They are different. They are special. Do you know you are more special than an angel? You don't believe it. You don't. The Bible says, what I'm about to preach to you, if I'm able to get it, you see. You are more special than them, so they are your bodyguards.
That's right.
The angel of the Lord encamps around the dwelling of the righteous. They are there to serve you. They were created to serve you. God doesn't call angels his children, but God calls you his child.
Amen.
God called the angels servants. He calls you child. He said, to which of the angels did he ever say at this time, today I have begotten you? None of them. None of them. And yet you are the beloved of the Lord.
Amen.
You are God's family member.
Amen.
The angels are the house helps. And yet you are afraid of the house helps. Because you have not believed who you are. Now you see, I can't go into my message. This is introduction. I'm left with 15 minutes. If you read your Bible, preaching will be easier. Because you hear powerful, most of you hear powerful messages. It does not transform your mind because you have neglected the foundations. Do you know why you're always afraid? I'm talking to you. You know what I'm talking about. Every day, you become afraid. It's as if something bad is about to happen. I rebuke that from you.
Amen.
You are peculiar before God. No evil will befall you. Do you hear me?
Amen.
You are very special.
Yes,
he
Lord.
Calls you peculiar. The word peculiar means special. Do you hear? Say, I am special.
I am special.
Say, I am special.
I am special.
The hand of God is upon me. I am a child of God.
Child of God.
Say, I believe it.
I believe
it. I am a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
My name is in the book of life. Say, my name is in the book of life.
Name is in the book.
Say, my name is in the book of life.
Name is in the book.
Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
My name is in your book.
My name is in the book.
Do you know why you are afraid to say it? For some of you, you went to masturbate last night, so you are afraid. I'm not saying continue masturbating, but you are masturbating because you are a baby. You have not believed who you are. The day you believe who you are, that thing will be so disgusting. You won't do it again. You won't do it again. May you know who you are. May you walk in your identity. Creation is waiting for the manifestations of the children of God. It's down. Please, I want you to know that heaven is making serious investment in your life. Do you hear me? When we gather here, the reason why you shouldn't miss church services, when we gather here, we are not doing a religious convocations. Do you hear me? It is a divine empowerment, an enablement. It's a family meeting where daddy takes the opportunity to empower you for your destiny. You will graduate from school, from Ashesi University, and you go out there to do great things. Do you hear me? Some of you, as you are here, you have started receiving business ideas already.
Right.
Write them down. Right. And be praying. Father, amongst my brothers and sisters here, who is a suitable partner that I can partner with to set up this thing? How many of you have heard about Dream Oval? they started it here. They were all KCF members. They are all KCF members. Do you hear me? One of them, their CEO, their president CEO, Claude Hatchford. When you see him, tell him, I told you the story. Ask, well, is it true? He got born again in KCF. When I was a student, he came to me and said, you, I will make you drink gin and lime before you graduate. That's what he did. That was his death. He dared me. I said, nonsense. Before I leave school, you will be born again. I was preaching like this when he rushed in. And then he rushed out again. The following day before, he told me the full story, what happened to him. He was on his way to go and drink gin and lime. When the Holy Spirit arrested him in his car, and he parked the car in the middle of the road and lie in the middle of the road and lifted up his hand and said, Lord Jesus, I accept you. God wants to, or God is empowering you, God is fortifying you, and God is exempting you from many things. But the one thing that he wants you to have is the fear of God. The fear of God is different from being afraid of God. Our theme for the month is renewing our love and fear of God. Do you understand me? We have to renew our love for God. That's why I made you to sing the song you were singing. Very prophetic. But one thing is key, that you will have holy reverence for God. Amen. To have the fear of God is to have holy reverence, respect, and honor for who God is, his authority and power over your life and over the universe. Which means that when you have the fear of God, your interactions with your fellow human being will be born from that fear of God, because you know. How many of you have siblings at home? Good. How many of you have disciplinarian parents? Your parent is a disciplinarian. The way you say A before you even stood up. Now, are you the eldest or you are the first son? How many siblings do you have? There are two after you. Good. Perfect example. Now, you see that disciplinarian parent. If one of your siblings goes to take your lunch or misbehaves or goes to your bedroom and messes things up, you have the right to beat him up. But you feel you have the right to beat him up. Is that not so? Why? Because vengeance is yours. And so you want to exert your personal righteousness and justice for the person coming into your room or your space to mess things up. So you want to slap him for him to know that you are the eldest, so that the fear of you will fall on him. Is that not so? Why is it that typically your parent does not want you to exert your own judgment on your siblings? When your sibling does some, especially the last babies who like to do the kokonsa, when they do kokonsa and you want to slap them, when you slap them, then you put your hand on so that they won't scream. Is that not so? Why don't you want them to scream? So that mommy or daddy will not hear. Is that not so? Why do you do that? Why do you do that? Oh, answer me. My time. I've exceeded time. They'll come for you. Why would they come for you? Because the person wronged you. He committed a sin against you. And you are decided to put the person right. Why should mommy or daddy get angry with you? Number one, the home belongs to them. It is their kingdom you live in. So it is their rules, not your rule. Your opinion of how leadership and justice should go doesn't matter. Their word is what defines righteousness in their home. So they discipline you to conform to the righteous standards they have set at home. And vengeance is theirs, not yours. And so when your sibling misbehaves against you, for the fear that you have for your parent and the honor that they say, if somebody does something to me, against me, I should come and report. They will exert their own kind of righteous judgment. So they expect you to obey. Now, if you disobey and you mete out your own justice system, you have disobeyed them. Therefore, you have dishonored them. Therefore, you have shown disrespect and dishonor to their name and their honor. So even though you are trying to correct somebody, you have dishonored them. You have not shown the fear of your parent. So they get angry with you and discipline you and sometimes leave the one who offended you. Is that fair? It doesn't seem fair, but if you are a child of righteousness, you will understand that any time you fight against authority, the authority of your parent, you are fighting against your own future authority. Sit down. The fear of God is holy reverence for God because of, number one, who he is as creator and source. The word father means source, number one. Number two, holy honor, reverential honor for him because he's the ruler of all things, master of all things, and his authority and sovereignty. That means that if you are his child, which I should have at the back and front of my mind every time, then it doesn't matter whether you have money or not. It doesn't matter your position in this present life. Do you understand me? When I see you, one thing should be clear. I must respect you. I must not use my words to demean you. Do you understand? Whether you speak my language or not, no matter how anointed I am, it does not make me better than you. You are God's child. Just like no matter the authority your father or mother gives to your house help and you being a child, your house help is not better than you. He may have the right to discipline you, but he doesn't have the right to abuse or beat you. If that house help tries, what is going to happen to him or her? Good. It's that simple. So for the fear that the house help has for your parent, he can discipline you, but there are certain words he is forbidden from using. When you understand things like that, then your relationship with God will tell in how you relate with everybody. Do you understand me? So one thing you should write down, if you have the fear of God, it will show in your actions to your fellow human beings. You have honor code. The honor code, there is no evangelator, right? So for the fear and honor, when we say fear, you are not. It's not because of the punishment, but the honor. That's why it's called honor code, not fear code. The honor, the respect you have for the institution of no corruption. You say, I will do this. I will subscribe to this mode of thinking so that I don't become conform to the standard of corruption that rules in Ashesi. Do you understand? Have you gotten it? And so you need the fear of God. So write this scripture down, then we have closed. Let's not do Hebrews. Let me give you this one instead. Psalm 25, verse 14. Let's close on that one. I know I've taken all your time. Everybody, one go.
The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him.
Uh-huh.
And he will show them his covenant.
He will do what?
Show them his covenant.
Therefore, as a child of God, you need to fear God. You need to have holy honor, reverence for God. If you want to know secrets, I don't have time to go into the secret of the Lord. The secret of the Lord has to do with the things of life that as a young person, you are yet to know that regards your life and dealings of life. God is going to come to you and visit you if you have holy reverence for him. Let me make it simple for you. How many of you are in a relationship, boyfriend, girlfriend? Lift up your hand. Reverend Roland knows. My time is up. Thank you. God bless you. Okay, please stand up. What's your name, sir? Samuel Blankson. Clap for Samuel Blankson. The reason why you are clapping for him is that you, whilst you are hiding your own, he is bold. Now, we are closing. Samuel, if your girlfriend, okay, does not have respect for you, when you say one, he says two to billion. When you say A, he says B to Z, including the Roman numerals. When you say sit here, you stand. When you say stand, she will sit. When you say look up, she will lie down. Will you want to have a discussion with the person to show that girl your heart and the secret things and the mighty things you want to do with her? In fact, will you want to be in that relationship? That is how it is. So God says, if you have holy reverence for me, already my spirit is in you. I've told you already. His spirit is in you. He has set his seal upon you already. His love is upon you. But God has favoritism towards those who fear him, as in have holy honor for him. Those people, they don't need to pray that, Father, open my eyes. Whilst you are there, Jesus said, if you love me and you obey me, I will love you. I and my Father will visit you and we will make our dwelling with you. That is why you see that you are there. Every day you command God's presence. In the lecture hall, the lecture is teaching you calculus. You are not, your brain is not picking. Then he said, Holy Spirit. Then he said, I am here. He will open that area of your brain and give you revelations about that subject. By the time you see, you that you, haven't you heard people say, I don't know what I wrote to, but I got an A. I don't know what I wrote. I don't know what I did, but they gave. I don't know what I said at the interview, but they got it. And then somebody who doesn't have reverence for God, but knows charismatic jargons, went to do 3 days dry fasting, spoke in university tongues, and said they didn't get it. It's a difference. Let me tell you, God has favorites. Those who fear him. Those who fear him. Those who fear him. Those who have holy reverence because of his authority and his sovereignty. I pray for you that as you go home, may the spirit of the fear of the Lord rest on
Amen.
You.
Amen.
May you be holy on campus by the fear of the Lord.
Amen.
May God order your steps and may his secret come to you.
Amen.
May God, Isaiah 54, he said, the Lord has opened my ear and he has given me the tongue of the learned. I pray for you that God will give you the tongue of the learned and will open your ear to hear secrets about life, secrets about your destiny.
Yes,
what your strength cannot do, may he do it for you.
Amen.
May he do it for you.
Amen.
I don't have time. He said, how good is your... he said, the many goodness you have laid in store for them who fear your name. I pray for you, child of God, that as you live here, may God begin to show you secrets.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
You have holy honor for him.
Jesus.
May the anointing of intelligence, the anointing of excellence,
yes,
the anointing of opportunities,
Jesus,
begin to work in you.
Amen.
By the fear of God.
Amen.
God bless you too much.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this, share it with someone and be an agent of impactful change for the kingdom of God. God bless you.